This morning, I want to talk about our eldership. Not specifically our eldership, but the eldership of the Lord's church, how significant it is, how important it is for the function of the body of a congregation of the Lord's church. It's significant because it's God's designed leadership, one that He tested and tried through the Israelites in the wilderness, and one that He knows is the best form of leadership for His church in this world today. And in doing so, looking into the New Testament for examples and for names of these elders, we often just go to the qualifications and talk about the specific names, the certain titles, the certain characteristics that they are supposed to have, and discuss in some detail what these men look like and their character of life. But there is one other way to look at the office of an elder this morning. And I want to do this in a very simple way. This is not a complex sermon by any stretch of the imagination. It's not difficult to understand. It's one that should help us be able to understand a little bit better about what God is wanting from elders in His church. And it's one that hopefully will be beneficial to you by the time that we are finished. This morning, I want to look at the role of elders by use of their names, by use of the names that they use in Scripture. We know that the New Testament was primarily written in Koine, or Common Greek, and using that Greek language, we can better understand exactly what the role of these elders are based on what name or what word is used when describing them. To give an example of this, we have three different names that are used, or different words that are used for elders in the New Testament. Now, they're all synonymous. There's only one office of an elder, although there are many different titles that we're going to see in the English for what they do. So looking this morning into the Bible, we're going to find that the very first word that's more common than not used for an elder is this word that we hopefully have behind me, presbyteros, is how we would say it in the English. There we go. So you have it there in the Greek on my right and in the English transliterated there on my left. And primarily what this word means for us is someone who is older. When we say elder in the English, we know what an elder normally is. It is someone who is elderly or someone who is an elder for the office of an elder. And presbyteros, when looking at this word, it denotes someone who is also older, but has the office as well of someone who is an officer or a chief or a captain or an elder over the flock. If we look over in Genesis chapter 10 and verse 21, the Hebrew was translated into Koine Greek during the LXX or the Septuagint version of the Old Testament. And in doing so, the very first usage of this word presbyteros is in Genesis chapter 10 and verse 21. This illustrates our purpose this morning. The brother of Japheth, the elder, even to him were children born. So that word elder there is in the Greek, the word that we find used for elder. But it's not in reference to his position, but simply as someone who was an older man. In Exodus chapter 12 and verse 21, however, we find it being a reference to someone who is older, but also someone who would be over their families, over a family of God. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 21, then Moses called for all the elders of Israel. These elders of Israel are in reference to people that were older men that were basically patriarchs over different tribes of their families, and said to them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. So we see then how this word that we use in reference in the New Testament to elders also means someone who is older and someone who has this chief position among the family. If we look over in Numbers chapter 11 just for a moment, we'll see another usage of this word. Numbers chapter 11. In verse 16, so the Lord said to Moses, gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you may know to be the elders of the people and officers over them. Bring them to the tabernacle of meeting, that they may stand there with you." We know this passage refers to 70 elders of Israel being chosen, being placed over their families or different tribes, and therefore kind of helping him when it comes to leadership in the camp of the Israelites. The important thing for us this morning is to see how that word elder is used, first of all, for the patriarch of the family in the first place, and then how those elders became officers over the people and the elders, meaning that there were people from among the elderly who were taken, the older folks, that were taken and placed in positions of authority over those families. Not everyone who was an elder was an officer, though, because there were certain qualifications, no doubt, that would have been met by God's designation. So definitely we find this word presbyteros to mean someone who is older. It can also mean someone who is an officer or a chief, according to this passage right here. And in the New Testament, that word is used in such a way. Over in Acts chapter 11 and verse 30 is the very first usage of this. And that's definitely in contrast to the apostles and the elders mentioned there in that passage, showing two different forms of leadership for the Lord's church in the first century. You have the apostles who had the gift of the Holy Spirit, who did their work with the Word of God. And then you had the individual elders over the congregation who saw towards that leadership and the sending out of certain men for the idea of evangelism. So Acts chapter 11 and verse 30 is the first reference to an eldership in the New Testament. If we look over in the book of Titus chapter 1 just for a moment, Titus chapter 1, this is probably the most well-known passage for a location discussing an eldership. Titus 1 and verse 5, Paul is writing to this Titus and discussing what his mission was to where he was located. Verse 5. "For this reason, I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you." So there was, of course, the command here that Titus was to go and appoint that which was lacking, which implies to us, if we have a congregation that does not have qualified men to be an eldership, to have an eldership, they're lacking something essential for being a strong congregation of the Lord's church. So, of course, here in verse 5, to appoint elders, that's that word presbyteros that we have discussed before, which means someone who is older, someone who is an officer or a chief over the congregation. And then, of course, talking about these qualifications that we've mentioned before, if you look in verses 6 of this passage and following, so Titus 1, 6 through verse 9, as well as 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 2 through 7, you have those qualifications of what these elders are to look like that you place over a congregation. So, of course, we're talking about an eldership denotes the idea of having more than one elder, so at least two that are over a congregation when it comes to authority, when it comes to their rule and their position. So it's very important that we recognize that the most common expression of elder in the Greek that we find in the Old and New Testament versions is the word presbyteros, which denotes someone who's older. So the second one that we find is the Greek word episkopos. Episkopos, you might kind of sound familiar, like Episcopalian. That's where that word comes from the overseers of the particular denomination. So episkopos is used for also that position of someone who is an elder. But it has the connotation of someone who is an overseer. In other words, a boss. We don't like to use that word too often in reference to our elders, but it has someone who's in authority over someone else. Over in 1 Peter chapter 4, I want to illustrate this word episkopos in a very hopefully clear way to you. 1 Peter chapter 4 in verse 15. This is not in reference to an eldership in this particular context, but the word episkopos is used in a variant in this particular passage. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 15, it says, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Now, that busybody in other people's matters, ironically enough, is one word in the Greek. It's a compound word, but it's one word. That when we look at that word in the Greek, and most people say a busybody in other people's affairs or matters. Can you guess what that word is? In this relationship, if you look at it, it has the idea of oletre episkopos, is the compound word that we find for a busybody in people's matters. Literally, it can be rendered in another bishop man. Let no one suffer as another one's bishop man. So it says, if you want to avoid evil things like being a murderer, a thief, or an evildoer, you also want to be avoiding being someone who is a bishop man over another man's matters. So that shows you how that word episkopos is used elsewhere, not in reference to an eldership, but in reference to someone who is involved in someone else's lives or affairs or matters, which implies to us what one of the primary roles of an elder is to be, involved in people's lives. So looking over in the book of Acts chapter 20, I want to show you this very, very quickly. Acts chapter 20. This is also a well-known passage discussing the idea of an eldership, but I want to show to you how these positions are all interchangeably used by these different names. In Acts chapter 20, jumping down to verse 17, from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. So he's wanting the Ephesian congregation's eldership, that's the word presbyteros, to come down to meet him where he is. And if you look over in verse 28, it says, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. That's the word, of course, for bishop man or episkopos, a particular idea there. So they used interchangeably this particular context. We also find in verse 28, to shepherd the church of God. So, of course, the idea of an elder, of a bishop, or an overseer, and someone who is a shepherd are all used interchangeably within the office of an elder. Now, we've mentioned it, we can move on to that third title or name used for someone who is an elder, and it's poimen. Poimen is used specifically in reference to someone who is a pastor or who is a shepherd. Someone who is a pastor is someone who feeds the flock. So, of course, the pastor or the shepherd, in reference to poimen, are used specifically, especially in verb form, as something that they're going to do for an eldership to do for the congregation. Again, Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, the episkopos in that congregation, the elders, they were to shepherd the flock of God over which they had been placed. And then over in 1 Peter chapter 5, let's turn there together. 1 Peter chapter 5. Look in verse 1. The elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. In verse 2, here again is that verb form of poimen. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as episkopos or overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Here's a reminder for all of us, verse 4. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. So once again, Peter here, as an elder, is encouraging other elders of this congregation to shepherd or to feed the flock from the word of God and to oversee their lives and their matters, but not being lords over them as being rulers in the sense of how the Gentiles thought of that. And denominations are specifically confused about the idea of the word pastor in most instances, because many people, when they meet me and I say I'm a preacher, they say, oh, what kind of pastor are you? And they don't really understand that what they're saying is what kind of shepherder are you when you say that? I'm not really a shepherd, am I? I'm not an elder. I'm just someone who feeds the flock by the word. So in that sense, I suppose the real pastors, the elders, are hiring me to feed you on their behalf, is the idea that we get from that particular concept. So again, when it comes to poimen, the idea of a pastor or a shepherd, that's in reference to what the elders do for the flock. Now I want to kind of back up here for a moment and just talk about what we've talked about so far. It's significant and it's important that we know the rules and the regulations and the qualifications of who elders are among us. That's very significant. But knowing their names, knowing their titles and their roles can shine some light onto what their duty is for the congregation. So again, to kind of recap, who are elders? They're people that are older, just by the nature of the very word used. They're people who are overseers of the flock. The people who are shepherds. And that's significant because those different job descriptions, if you will, give us a picture of what our elders are. So again, to kind of clarify, when you say that an elder is someone who is older, what we really mean by that is they're hopefully wise and experienced leaders that we have over the actions of this local congregation, right? That's our goal in having someone who's more aged than those that are around them, is having someone who has more wisdom, has more experience. Secondly, having someone who is an overseer, that means that there's someone who has authority. They do have the authority to rule in matters of the congregation. That's why they're overseers. They're the bosses, if you will, when it comes to these matters that are not determined by the Word of God. And then, more importantly, they're going to meddle in your life. It's a negative thing for us to be busybodies who's meddling in other people's lives. But the very word that's used for someone who is an overseer literally means someone who is a meddler. So when an elder comes to meddle in your affairs and discuss your life and your decisions and your lifestyle, that's an important part of what they do and what they're called to be as overseers or bishops of the congregation. And then finally, being someone who's called a poimen or a pastor or a shepherd, I think highlights the most important part of what their role is for the congregation, and that's the loving care and protection for the sheep. We're all simple sheep trying to follow the great shepherd who has his help in the shepherds that he has over his congregations. When we lived in West Virginia for a couple of years, and we used to live next to people who grew up taking care of real live sheep on their entire childhood. Whenever I mention the idea of a shepherd or sheep, or how we're all just simple sheep, you hear a lot of people scoff and laugh. And I asked why that was. They said, well, we used to take care of sheep. We know how dumb they are. I go, what? They are dumb animals. They will hurt themselves. They will lose themselves. They are just brute animals that are just dumb. And Jesus called us the sheep. So when we have shepherds that help us find the right way and make wise decisions for our behalf, that's a very good thing for us to have, because sometimes we're foolish. Sometimes we make mistakes. And having someone who is older, who is wiser, who has authority, who needs to meddle in our affairs, but loves us and wants to protect us, that is a great blessing that God gave us in giving us an eldership of the Lord's church. So again, these three different names, three different words used in the Greek, all mean the same thing. They're just our leaders. They're just our elders. But they all give a different variant of what their job expectations are, that we can love them for the work that they do for our own soul's benefit. So I want to personally, before we conclude our thoughts, thank the three elders that we have in this congregation for the work that they do, the meddling they do in our lives because they love us, because they want to protect us from sin, they want to guide us into the truth, and for all the hours and the late nights that go unrecognized, and that's part of their job because they love us. Thank you so much for doing that for us. Amen. At the same time, folks, there is a call for all of us to not only acknowledge them for their work, but to also consider ourselves. There are some men in our number who no doubt have been considering if they or they do not meet the qualifications for elders. So as time continues, we should all do our best to strive towards meeting the requirements that God has laid out for us, that we can serve in that capacity and help share the load. The more elders there are to look out for a flock that are godly, that are chosen by the Spirit, the better. So we should all, of course, examine ourselves to ensure that we are doing what we can to prepare to help guide the Lord's flock as time continues on as well. And this morning, as we consider those things, I want to encourage you to let you know that these men love you, they're concerned about your soul, and they want you to know the truth. They want you to know that Jesus loves you, and that he died for you. And if you have sin in your life this morning, you can wash away that sin by the blood of Jesus Christ. You can do that by putting on Christ in baptism, or you can do that if you already are a Christian by repenting and confessing that sin before God, and he will be just and faithful to forgive you of that sin. If anyone has a need to come forward this morning for any reason, we're here for you now. Please come forward to stand and we sing.